Hello, and welcome to our Cohen Esri Apartment Investors podcast, where we explore a variety of topics related to real estate investing. My name is Lydia Kincaid, and I manage our market rate funds. We have Ryan Huffman, our Chief Operating Officer, and Lee Harris, our President and CEO. Today, we're going to dive into a topic that we haven't really gone into a whole lot of detail yet, but specifically looking at property management. We're going to be talking today about some little things on site that we do to try to make the resident experience more positive, to make it more appealing to people who are coming and visiting, seeing tours. Overall, little things that can make a really big difference in people's experience when they visit and live on our properties, and make a big difference then to the bottom line. So Lee, maybe you can start us out with a couple things. You started your career as a property manager just a few years ago, I think, and Ryan then as well. So maybe, Lee, you can tell us a little bit about your experience and how that's, you know, changed over time, maybe some things we do or don't do, and we'll go into some of the details about what we do today as well.
Yes, I am a recovering property manager. I will admit that. And I think Ryan is too, but it's not something you ever fully recover from. And in fact, all jest aside, it's really critical to deploy what we call property management 101. When we're looking at the investment performance of a property, so much of it is determined by how well that property is operated. And what's really interesting is that there are many, many, many little things that really don't cost any money that make a very big difference to the residents, whether they stay, whether they pay, whether we can get them to pay more. And so I always learned from my early days in Topeka, Kansas, on a 234-unit apartment community. Bob Esri was my teacher, and he was all about curb appeal. And so what does that mean? Well, curbs, obviously, where people park and what they drive by on a street, tend to collect debris. Maybe it's grass clippings, maybe it's cigarette butts, maybe it's trash, maybe it's weeds that grow up in the cracks. Those are simple things to tend to, and we like to make sure that our curbs are that polished, if you will. Get the weeds out, get everything swept up. And the same goes for the grounds. We don't like to see litter on the grounds. And in fact, again, I learned very early on that no one is too good to pick up trash. And when I became a regional manager, it was interesting to be walking the grounds with the property manager and see a candy wrapper on the ground. And if that property manager walked over that piece of trash, we stopped. I picked it up. I made a point that I'm not too good to pick it up, nor are you. So get whoever's out on the grounds picks up trash. And that's just one of those basics and fundamentals that, again, it doesn't cost any money when you're out on the grounds. If you're a maintenance technician, if you're a housekeeper, if you're an assistant property manager, leasing agent, property manager, regional manager, we pick up trash. Right, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I pick up trash as COO still. I mean, it's interesting that we're having this conversation, because what I always chuckle about is everybody, I don't know about you, Lee, but they freak out when I bend over to pick up the trash. And I just say, what's the issue? We're all property managers. We see trash, we pick it up. So yeah, we definitely all do that. And we should.
Yeah, we should. And, you know, the building entrances are so important, whether it's the office, the building where the office is, or whether it's the furthest building away from the front door of the property. Those building entrances, there shouldn't be any trash. Lots of times people will stand outside and smoke now, and they'll throw cigarette butts on the ground. And again, those make an impression, and there's no reason for those to be littering the front entrance to these buildings. And again, when you and I are out walking the grounds with our team, If I see a cigarette butt, I pick it up, even though that's nasty. We just can't have that. So, Ryan, do you have other thoughts on the subject?
And my thing is weeds. I'm a big no weed. I mean, even at my house, I can't stand weeds being anywhere. And so I remember a time when Carol Smith and I were on an inspection. It was 100 degrees outside here in Kansas, and we're in full-blown suits and ties. And we were out there weeding the beds because nobody had weeded the beds. And it's just, you know, I find with property managers, and Leah, it's going to be interesting to go to the next one. We all have our vices of things that we're trained to look at. And I'll go into restaurants, I'll go into retail stores, and my eye just wanders the space because I'm just trained to do that. And I can see ceiling tiles that have drip marks on them. You can see, you know, anything around the perimeter, but weeds is my vice. I do not like weeds in beds or in walkways. And so that's one that when my property managers were training on me, it's always Ryan's come and pull the weeds because of that. It's just one of my things. It's a detail. For me, the details tell how well the properties run. You can look macro, but it's these little detailed things that will catch the eye if you're somebody who's coming to rent or a resident that's living there. So my vice is weeds.
Well, and I am very particular when it comes to elevator tracks in the buildings that have elevators. And more of our garden-style apartment buildings are having elevators if they're four stories or so. We have some high-rise buildings as well. Our corporate office has a couple of elevators. And I like to see those elevator tracks really gleam. And that I have gotten down on hands and knees with a toothbrush and some cleaning solution to teach housekeeper how to make sure those elevator tracks are kept clean. And I always noticed when I come into our corporate office, first thing I look at on that elevator are those tracks, and they are spotless. And again, it's a minor detail, but it costs no money to clean those up and to keep them clean going forward. So that's one of my particulars. Another thing I don't like to see are tattered flags. We have flag poles on many of our properties, and usually we're flying the American flag along with perhaps a state flag and maybe the property flag or a Cohen Esri flag. And if that flag is in tatters, that's not acceptable, especially if it's the American flag. That is a big no-no. And so, again, minor detail. People need to notice that, because as somebody drives by, their attention's directed to something waving in the wind like a flag. Maybe it's even some of these banner types of flags that are planted at the front entrance to catch people's attention. And when those things have holes in them or threadbare, and that doesn't make a good impression on the prospective customer, nor does it help our existing customers feel good about where they live.
What about the parking lot? I've heard sometimes cars just get left behind. Tell me about that, Lee.
Yeah, we call that junk cars in the parking lot, because many times they have flat tires or they don't have tags. And our leases provide that cars have to be in operating order. And you can drive through the parking lot of an apartment community and tell a whole lot about, again, this attention to detail, when there are multiple cars that are not tagged or aren't in running order. And that's, again, something that we ask our team members to pay attention to, and either find out who they belong to and give them a notice that says you got to get this car in running order and get it properly tagged, or get it off the property. And then we will tow those cars if there's no response. So, again, it doesn't cost us anything. Usually the tow companies come and they'll tow the car away, and they'll either junk it after a certain period of time, or somebody that finally raises their head and says, that's my car, can go pay them for the tow charge. And again, it's a lease condition that needs to be recognized. I'll say one other thing about landscaping too. I call them suckers that grow up at the base of a tree. So there may be a hardwood tree of some sort that has these suckers that grow up at the base or possibly even on the lower part of the trunk. And again, that looks unkempt, and those need to be cut and removed. Once again, it doesn't cost any money to do that.
And I'll make a general observation that's super interesting to all this. What we're talking about, really, if you boil it down, is someone's first impression. You know, you look at all the things we've just mentioned. It's somebody driving onto the property, and it's their first impression. And there was a study done not long ago on why people rent. And 74% of someone's decision to rent is based on what they see. So everything that we've talked about up till now, you can see is all stuff before they've even walked in and interacted with you, shaken your hand, anything. It's all what they're seeing the minute they step on the property. So, Lee, you're absolutely right. It's that first impression, and it costs no money. My mantra was, is the property's going to look as good or not good as you allow it to look. And so as a property manager, we encourage everybody, the first thing you do when you come to the property is drive the property. Look around, see what's happened overnight. And some people may think that's strange because, well, I was just here at 5 or 6 last night. What could happen between now and 8 o'clock? Well, a lot can happen because everybody's at home. And so just doing that simple drive to get your day started and kind of set the expectations for the team, like here's what I notice, is also a very, very big deal.
You know, that's a good point. When I was the site manager, the property manager for that property I mentioned in Topeka, Kansas, first thing I did every morning was, and I lived on site. That was back in the day when that was fairly commonplace. But I would take a pad and paper, and I'd walk. I'd walk every stairwell, every hall. We had 7 buildings with interior halls. They were garden style, so there were 3 levels. And then there was we called it the old section. It was the phase 1 of the property that had exterior walkways. And I got good exercise. I made a lot of notes. There were lights maybe that were out. Maybe somebody left something in the hall that I'd pick up if I could. The banisters, railings on the stairwells, if they were dusty, I made note of that. But it was a great way to get out and see what's going on the property. So nowadays, most managers don't live on site, so they do need to make that drive through. And if they want to, and if they could, a walkabout like that, it would be a great idea. And that points to another thing that's not maintenance related, but it's customer fulfillment, as we call it, customer fulfillment related. We should know the names of our residents. The entire staff should know the name of every resident on a property. And when these people are seen on the property, they should be greeted by our team by name. That's a big deal. It doesn't cost any money to know the names of residents and have a friendly greeting for them.
What do you think about that, Ryan? Can you expand on that and just the way maybe that our property staff interacts with residents and the way residents get treated?
Yeah, I mean, Lee's absolutely right. I always equate this back to think about how you like to be seen and interacted with in your everyday life, right? Somebody who is providing you a service, whether that's somebody serving you when you're at a restaurant. I have always found for myself, when they take a minute to introduce themselves and ask my name, which is very rare even in the restaurant industry nowadays, and then they call me by my name throughout the service, I feel better about it. Equate that to, we are in charge of someone's home. So if you think about that from your own standpoint of your own home, if you're in your own home, making them feel welcome and making them feel seen is a huge deal. And it goes such a long way, I think, for most folks. And, you know, you add to another one, answering the phone is also a big deal. Now, in today's world, you really have to think through the generational gaps in how people communicate and how they want to be communicated with are huge. You know, the younger generations, they prefer texting. There are studies out there that say they want to text. That's what they do. The boomer generation and those guys, they still want to talk and they still want folks to answer the phone. So if the phone rings, you should be answering the telephone. That is something that we have focused on, particularly this year, with a software called Knock that we now have full visibility into phone calls that are missed, phone calls that are answered, and we can tell how many of those are answered. And so focusing on that and making sure you have that personal connection. Real estate is still a people business, and I think it will always be a people business. Yes, AI is there. We did a podcast on that. You know, texting and emailing and those kind of things are there, but it's still a people business. People still want to feel seen. And knowing their name, it goes a long way, and answering the phone goes a long way.
Well, and I would also say that when we're talking about the phone, we provide a lot of maintenance service to our residents. And one of the things, and this is something that, again, that I remember doing constantly when I was on site, after our maintenance service was completed in a unit, in the old days, we had a three-part work order, we called it, with the no carbon required paper. And a copy was torn off and left in the residence unit telling them the work was completed. But then I would get on the phone and call after I knew that that service work had been done and make sure that that resident was satisfied with the work. And oftentimes I learned that maybe something else needed to be attended to, gave us an opportunity to touch that resident from a service standpoint again, built relationships that way. I was able to set expectations for residents if for some reason the maintenance was delayed. And that, I think, is really, really important. Many, many properties across the country are having difficult time recruiting and keeping maintenance technicians. It's an industry-wide problem. And as a result, maintenance service can be delayed. And getting on the phone and communicating with a resident that, hey, we haven't forgotten about you. There's a part that's been delayed in terms of shipment, or our technician is about 2 days behind. But setting an expectation for what a resident can plan for is critical, and especially when we have a shortage of staff or there are supply chain issues, which have been prevalent a lot over the last 2 or 3 years. So the use of that telephone, not just answering it when people call, but actually proactively calling residents to make sure they're satisfied with their service, to set expectations, I think is, again, paramount, and it costs no money.
So, Ryan, how about handling rental delinquencies? If someone's behind on their rent, or on the flip side, once we're ready to raise rents, how would you suggest approaching that from a customer fulfillment point of view?
Yeah, I mean, rent delinquencies, look, collecting rent is not the fun part of the job.
Right.
Especially when you're talking about folks that are habitually late, everybody has a story. I mean, I always approach this from, I think most people have good intentions. I think they don't go into this thinking they're not going to be able to pay the rent. But the reality is life happens and things happen. You know, a car breaks down, they've got somebody, a medical emergency, and things go wrong, and then they get behind in the rent. And that's just something that, you know, the personal touch is definitely something that you need to do. We encourage our teams as much as possible to work with the residents. Again, Lee's right, getting on the phone and having a conversation or getting them in person to sit down and have a meeting is paramount. But the goal is to get your rent paid and to keep it paid. We have many situations where we'll encourage payment plans, for example, but really it's you got to be paid by the end of the month, and there's got to be some certainty that you're going to pay on time the following month. So that personal touch is definitely there. On rent increases, you know, I definitely think delivering those in person is a plus. I think there's a lot, again, I'm going to go back to how people communicate. There's a lot of people that don't want that in person. They prefer to just come via text. If that's how they prefer it, then that's the preferred method, and that's fulfilling for them. So we just have to meet people where they are with that when it comes to that type of interaction. So I shift a little bit from having this global perspective of doing it to meet people where they are and communicate with them the way they want to be communicated with, because that goes a long way from generation to generation.
Well, and the one thing I would say on rent increases, my preference is try to get to somebody in person. The reason for that is when you have that personal interaction, you're sitting in their living room, and guess what? It might be at 6 o'clock at night. This is a 24/7 business. So sometimes that's what has to happen. But that gives us an opportunity when we're face to face with somebody to understand how they've enjoyed their experience or not living on our property. And it gives us a chance to sell to the extent that somebody needs to be sold about that rent increase, particularly if it's a very large increase. They need to understand what they're getting for that that increase. And in many cases, from our standpoint, it's some physical improvements that we've been making to a property. And it just needs to be reinforced that that rent rental rate goes up when we spend the kind of money we're spending to improve the property. But I do agree with Ryan that there is a need to be sensitive to how people wish to be communicated with and try to respect that as much as we can. Now, one other, it's a housekeeping kind of thing that I want to mention. It just hit me that we haven't talked about vacant units. And I cannot tell you the number of times I've walked into a vacant unit and seen dead bugs on a windowsill, toilets that the water is half or more evaporated and it leaves an ugly mark in the toilet. There's a foul odor or a stale odor in that unit. In fact, we looked at a property that we didn't manage. We were contemplating purchasing it in another market. And I remember walking in, the manager didn't bother to do anything other than open the door for me. I walked in, I opened the refrigerator, and I counted, I think, four or five cockroaches literally running around inside a refrigerator. It was disgusting. And I thought to myself, and I think I may have mentioned it to you, Ryan, well, we better not have that happening in our portfolio. But the condition of vacant units is so critical. If somebody's going to look at a unit, it needs to be ready. Now, if you have 40 vacancies, it doesn't make sense to have all 40 vacancies in tip-top shape, but you should have the next 10 or 15 spit polish, as I like to say, and somebody needs to walk through those vacant units. That's something I remember Bob Esri impressed upon me. Get in your vacant units. Make sure that there aren't going to be surprises when you walk in with a prospective resident. So that's, again, something doesn't cost any money.
And I'll piggyback on that. You know, we talked about vacants, but one thing I will mention is models. Models are a big deal too. I mean, I tell the managers all the time, the very first thing after you drive the property when you get there is walk the path to the model, get in the model, and open the model. There's opening the office and there's opening the model. Get the lights turned on, get the music going, check your goodie fridge, make sure, Lee, to your point, that we've got the smell good stuff going. I mean, you're setting the tone for how the day is going to go. And the same thing applies when you close up the model for the day. And I think that gets missed a lot. I think there's a lot of folks nowadays that they open the office and the first person that comes to tour is the first time they go to the model. And that can set you up for a problem if the model hasn't been walked and opened, because again, the dead bug situation can go. Flush the toilets and make sure the seat is down. You know, the little presentation items like that are what people will notice when they walk in. So making sure that presentation is something you want to share with anybody that walks in is also hugely critical, in addition to the vacants.
Well, Ryan, Lee, really appreciate your time today. As always, I think these are, you know, great pieces of advice, maybe to people who are preparing their own properties, and things that we just want to share with our audience, that the attention to detail makes a big difference. Thanks, everyone, for listening.